If you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word today. We're preaching a series that called The Overcomer and More Than Conquerors. How many know you're more than a conqueror in Christ? Amen? Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 and 37. If you're watching right now, why don't you type in the little box there where you're watching from? It'd be good for me tonight when we go home just to go through and look at it and see where you're watching from. So type in the box there where you're watching from. I'd love to hear from you, and we're so thankful that you're able to tune in with us, and I pray the Word will speak to your heart. Father, I ask you to anoint me to preach your Word. I pray that the ears would be anointed to hear it. God, I pray that your Word would accomplish great things in our hearts today, Lord, that we would be encouraged and strengthened, and we would grow together in you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8:37 is our theme verse. How many of you were not here in service with us last Sunday? Quite a few. Good. So let me catch you up a little bit. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Apostle Paul is writing and telling us that we are more than just conquerors. We're overcomers. We're overcomers. And we're talking about living a victorious life. And each one of us, we are called to live a victorious life. And if you get caught up in watching too much news and just listen to too much negativity, it'll have you believing that somehow we're not going to live victorious, that we're going to live somewhere hiding in a cave eating beanie weenies when Jesus comes. And it's not going to happen. The Church of Jesus Christ is more than conquerors, and it is a victorious church. Amen? Negativity is the enemy of our faith. Negativity is the enemy of our faith. And if you're in the kingdom of God, you're called to be an overcomer. Jesus is speaking to us through John the Apostle John in John 16:33. And Jesus says this: "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world." Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. The word overcome there is the Greek word nikao. N-I-K-A-O, nikao. And it means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. It's where we get the English word Nike. Nike shoes. That's where Nike got their name, nikao. Nikao was believed to be a Greek goddess who had wings, and she flew around from battlefield to battlefield, giving a crown of victory to those that had won the battle. And John was letting the readers know that there was another kind of overcomer on the earth. That Nikao, the Greek goddess, and that was an overcomer, but there was another kind of overcomer on the earth. And John said the overcomer that's on the earth is the person that has put their entire trust in Jesus Christ. John said, victory doesn't come from placing your trust in other gods with a small g. It comes from placing your trust in Jesus Christ. Nikao, the overcomer, is recorded 28 times in the New Testament. And out of those 28 times, 24 of the times was written by John. Because John knew what it was like to be an overcomer. In 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this. So John is writing and he says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You guys have your Bibles? You got it? Look at it. Go look at it with me, because it's good for you to pull it up and read along so you can follow, because, man, it's a foundational in the life of the Christian believer. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. They're going to put it on the screen, but get this into your spirit. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It's not optional. You have to overcome this world. You have to overcome the lies of this world. You have to overcome this race problem. You have to overcome this COVID problem. You have to overcome the lies of the enemy that somehow we're all going to be just be defeated. It is not the kingdom of God. We are overcomers in Christ. You have to overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? John said, whoever or whatsoever is born of God is an overcomer. You don't have any choice. The lie is you can be a defeated Christian, and that's not the truth. If you're believing the lies of the enemy and you're living a defeated lifestyle, you are not walking in faith. Faith is the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, that we're more than conquerors. John said, whoever is born of God is an overcomer. The word born is the Greek word geneo, G-E-N-N-A-O, geneo. And it's where we get the word genes from. It's where we get the English word genes from. And John reminds us that when we get born again, when we get geneoed of God, when we get born again of God, something amazing happens in our lives. It's found in Titus 3:4. Go with me to Titus 3:4. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Through what? Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration. He's talking about this process of being born again. Another way to look at the word regeneration means to be regened. It's a word I made up. I tried to look for it. Regened. It's not in there. It is a truth in the Word of God. Regenerated means to have new genes. When I was born of my earthly father, when my biological birth happened, I carried the genes of my father. That's why this high hairline is on my head. Because my father carried this gene, which he got from his father, and he handed it down to me. And if you could see my son, you would see that I have now handed it down to my son. And his head looks just like mine. And even so much that my grandson Titus recently got the clippers and started to clip his own hair. And he cut a big gap in the side of his hair. And his mom said, Titus, we've talked. His mom's a, she's a hairstylist. She said, Titus, we've talked about this so many times. Why are you cutting your own hair? Mommy will do that for you. She said, Mom, I just want my hair to look like Pops and Daddy's. I said, hang on, son. It's coming. It's coming. Another way to look at that word regenerated means to be regened. All of the mess that has haunted you from your first birth got destroyed the day that you were born again. We don't teach this. We don't talk about this enough. I'm just telling you, people come to get saved because they're in trouble, because they go through hard times, or because I preach a message, or someone preaches a message that stirs their heart, and they run to the altar, and they make a confession. It starts there. But if we don't teach people that the day that you make that confession, something amazing happens in your life. You're to be regened. You get new genes in you. You now carry the DNA of heaven. And the lie is that you can get up here, make a confession, and go back out to the same old lifestyle. And I'm telling you, you confessed your sins, but you didn't get converted. And the only way to inherit heaven is to be converted or regened. Listen, I'm all about getting people to the altar, and I don't know which one's going to take. I just want to get them up here until one day it clicks in that stupid brain of ours that I'm not just going up there for fire insurance. I'm going up there for life insurance. I'm not going up there to prevent myself from going to hell. I'm going up there to learn how to live a new lifestyle and to begin to respond and act like a believer. Every entitlement the devil had in your life was destroyed the day that you got born again. Every yoke was destroyed. Every lie of the enemy, every curse over your life was destroyed. He crucified, he died on a cross to carry the curse. Because when the Son sets you free indeed. And because we're not taught this, because we're just getting people to fill out a card to say they made a confession, and we're not teaching them. Listen, people are so busy nowadays. I'm telling you, it's a messed up world we have when you can give your life to Christ and you can't even make time to go to a discipleship class. Amen. It's just tough to get people to do it because they just want fire insurance. I just don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins, but I want to keep living the same old lifestyle. And I'm telling you, that is not this gospel. You get regenerated. You get born again. Everything changes inside of you. Your desires, your passions, everything, your friends. You're not messed up if you say you're still struggling with issues. Listen, we all struggle with issues. Sanctification is the process of becoming who you already are. When you get saved, you become a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. And now you begin the process of sanctifying your life. You will always have a war. There will always be a war on the inside of you with who you are and who you are called to be. And there will be this war of who you used to be and who you are. It's a tug of war that goes on for every believer. When you receive salvation, it's at the point when you, that day that you receive salvation and you give your life to Jesus, it's the point that all your excuses have to stop. No more excuses. I got to renew this mind. I got to wake up every day and make a statement of my faith of who I am in Christ Jesus, that I am a child of the Most High God, that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I am walking out a life of faith. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed. I am above and not beneath. I am not my old man. My old man has been crucified with Christ. Paul said, I die daily. I lay my life down daily. I wake up and I crucify the old flesh and I walk in the newness of life. It's a process that each one of us have to learn to walk out. Why? Because we're called to live victorious. We're not called to live as a slave to sin. When we receive salvation, all the excuses were taken away. You no longer have a sin nature. That lie, we all sin. We all got this sin nature. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you're born again, you do not have a sin nature. You now have a Christ nature. You have a Christ nature. You're hungry for the presence of God. You're pursuing the presence of God. You're looking for His coming. You're looking for His assignment. What's your assignment when you go to Walmart? What's your assignment when you go to the store? What's your assignment wherever you're at? You have an assignment to walk out faith. Don't believe the lie, you have a sin nature. That sin nature died, and you got regened, born again. Jesus didn't say this is optional. He didn't say you could do this if you want to when times get hard. He said you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how do I get born again? How am I going to do that? How am I going to get back in my mother's womb? How do I get back in there to be born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, it's not of the natural, it's of the spiritual. There has to be a spiritual death. There has to be a spiritual rebirthing. And your spirit comes alive in Jesus Christ. Overcomers are not born to a perfect family. Huh? Overcomers are not born to a perfect family with a perfect father. Overcomers are born to a perfected family with a perfect heavenly father. You can't blame this on which side of the tracks you grew up on. You can't blame this on anything other than the very fact that when you give your life to Jesus, you got to see yourself as His love comes inside of you and overtakes you. I'm concerned about a church where we're seeing more confessions than we are conversions. Praying a prayer and then thinking, okay, that's it. It's just going to be this good life now. Everything's going to be great. We're not reading our Bibles. We're not praying. Too busy to go to a discipleship class. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to do the foundations class. It's for everyone that's struggling. Everybody that's really having a hard time finding your place, get in a discipleship class. True salvation comes with change. Listen, folks, true salvation comes with change. Falling in love with Jesus changes your affections. What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? I say all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. When you get saved, it begins to change your friendship circles. Old things pass away and all things become new. You are an overcomer. I'm not making positive confessions here. I'm telling you the life of faith. This is how you walk out who you are in Christ. When you were born again, you received the genes of an overcomer. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. John wrote this in 1 John 4:44. The same writer that wrote in the epistle of John that he wrote there in the Gospels. But the same John wrote 1 John 4:44. You are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Who's he talking about that you overcome? You overcome the world. You overcome the world. Here's some keys to becoming an overcomer. Here's the first key. If you can take notes, write it, maybe mark it somewhere in your Bible if you need to. Key to becoming an overcomer is this. First key. If you're going to be an overcomer, you need to be a fighter. You need to be a fighter. You got to fight for this thing, man. You have an enemy. You have an adversary. And you got to stand up and you got to fight for what's right. I'm not passive. I'm just telling you. I guess you guys know that already. I'm not very passive. I'm working on it. I'm a fighter. I love everybody, but my nature is I'm a fighter. I say all the time, man, that winning isn't everything, but losing's nothing. I don't like to lose. Jesus made me a winner, and I look to win in every situation. Huh? Don't matter if I die, don't matter what's going on. Somehow I got to find a way to win in this thing. Amen? I'm a work in progress. I know Uncle Rick's a work in progress because I hang out with him a lot. He's a work in progress. I'm just telling you, and I think a lot of you are work in progress. Anybody else a work in progress? Okay, good. I'm not alone. But I'm a fighter. I fight for you every day, church. I fight for you every day. I fight for our church. I fight for what's right for our church. I'm pushing forward. I'm fighting for what's right, man. And I called the county this week and just to fight for our church, just to talk to them and say, hey, listen, I want to do an event at the new property, and I want to be honest. This is what I want to do, and here's how I need to do it. And they said, well, if you're going to do that, then you need to go ahead and make it an equestrian event, and it needs to be a horse event. I said, okay, well, if I do the event at the horse barn, can we call it Cowboy Sunday and ride horses after we're done? They said, that's the only way you can do it. I said, well, then that's what we'll do, Cowboy Sunday. So, you know, I don't have the actual permit in my hand, but I'm 98% there. I talked to all the zoning people. I was real honest with them. I said, they said, this is the only way you can do it. And I said, well, that's what we'll do then. And I just wanted to make sure everybody's on board, so I'm not trying to come in a back door with this thing. So they were like, okay, so yeehaw, everybody bring a cowboy hat. Eddie James will be our special guest. We're about 98%. He's coming on the 28th, bringing 10 people, and we're either going to do it here or there. And so I'm hoping that Monday or Tuesday I'll get a permit in my hand that gives us permission to do it there. I'm going to get Robert to bring some horses and Brian and anybody else that has a horse. Bobby's going to have a horse. Just visiting horse, not a keeping horse. But I'm a work in progress, but I'm a fighter. I do good for the most part. Like I'm pretty, like I am in control of my emotions for the most part, and I do really well. But there's some things that pull out the fight in all of us. You know, we had an outdoor event in Ohio when I was a youth pastor there called Trip to Hell. It was an outdoor drama that we did in 65 acres of woods, and I had this trail cut back through the woods, and I had people leading people through there, and they would take groups of 30 and go station by station. We had a drunk driving crash, and we had an abortion, and we had a drug party and a suicide and all these things, and people would go from station to station and see the reality of what goes on in our world and to see it and be a part of it. And then they would come into a big room, and there would be a judgment scene where God's on the throne, and then there was a hell. They would go into hell, and there would be a devil in there on the throne. It was like this craziest thing, but thousands of people were coming from all over the different states, and you know, every night we'd have thousands of people go through this thing, and literally In a weekend, we'd see over 1,000 people born again, coming to Christ. Over 10,000 people go through in a weekend. Well, one of the neighbors did not like us preaching the gospel publicly. She said, that ought to be in your church. So she came over to the property, and she was screaming. And she said, I want to see the person in charge. And so they called me and said, Minister Greg, there's a lady up here. She's really upset. She wants to talk to the person in charge. I said, okay, I'll be right up there. And Jordan was just a little bigger than Titus. He was about, my son Jordan, who's now 30 years old, was just a little guy about Titus's age. And so he was with me on the four-wheeler, so we rode up there to the front, and I saw the lady. I said, ma'am, I'm Greg. I'm the youth pastor here. I'm the man that's in charge. And she went off. She's screaming at me. She's dropping the F-bomb and GD-ing and just cussing and going on. I said, ma'am, please, I have my grandson here, and I have my son here, and I just don't want that kind of language on the property. I understand your heart, but listen, this is our property, and we're going to preach the gospel on here, and I understand you don't want us to, but, you know, this is our right. This is our constitutional right to have this. And she went off again. And she started screaming at me. And she's at the top of her voice. And she said, GD this and that. And finally, I had all I could take. I said, ma'am, I've told you for the last time, get off this property. She looked up at me, and I said, now, you're not using no more bad language. Get off the property now. She ran off the property. I repented to everybody. I said, guys, I shouldn't have went that far. I let her push me to the edge, and I should have handled it different. We were at Busch Gardens. Bobby and I were at Busch Gardens, and we took Riley, who was about 8 or 9 years old. Riley was just a little girl. And so we were trying to find a roller coaster that she could ride being that little. And so we found one in the back of the park, so we go to the back of the park. We're in line. It's a 35-minute wait. So I said, you guys stay here. I'll go get us something to drink. I went to get something to drink. And when I come back, police are there. There's all kinds of security guards there. And Riley's crying. And Bobby's crying. Bobby runs up to me. And she's telling me what goes on. This young 23 or 24-year-old guy comes up to Bobby and Riley and pulls his pants down and exposes himself to my little eight-year-old daughter. And they're all crying. And the police said, I said, where is he? Where's the guy at? And they pointed. They said, he's right there. And then again, the cops go, hey, sir, we got it. We got it. I said, okay. He said, we're going to get him out of the park. He's gone. He's not going to be here anymore. I said, okay, we're good. We're good. I'm fine. Should have never happened, but I prayed with Riley. We prayed right there. It was fine. Everything was good. We went through. We rode the roller coaster. It was great. That was early in the morning. Mid-afternoon, we're on the back side of the park at a whole different location, and here comes this guy by. He's got a beer in his hand. He looks over at them, points at him and all this stuff and acting all crazy. And I said, I lost it. I went up there and I said, bud, don't look at my family. Don't speak to my family. Don't come around my family. I'm telling you right now, get to the other side of the park. I don't even want you around my family. He had a big Budweiser in his hand, one of them blue metal cans. And he went, what you gonna do about it? Flipped that can up into my face. I jammed that beer bottle down his throat, knocked his two front teeth out. I hit him so hard. I'm a work in progress, but I'm just. Huh? I hit him so hard, Derek. Oh my goodness, I jammed that bottle down his throat, man. I said, don't you ever come around my family again. You better get on the other side. Police came, everything. They took us down to the precinct. I told them exactly what happened. They said, Mr. Ball, we're sorry about that. He should have been evicted. I'm so sorry that happened. I came out, and first thing I did is said, I repent because I handled that wrong. I lost it. I did, man. But I'm a fighter. I mean, I'm a lover. But I'm a fighter, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying to all of you, listen to me. If you're gonna be an overcomer in this world, you gotta fight. And I'm not talking about fighting with your fist. That was wrong of me. And for all the little kids in here, all the teenagers in here, there was a lot better way to handle that thing. And I wish I would have did it differently. But I'm telling you, he's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. Oh, how loving and patient he is that he's still working on me. He's doing a work inside of me. And I'm telling everybody, listen to me, we got to fight for what's right, but we don't do it with our fist. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If we're going to be victorious in this world, we have to have a little bit of an attitude. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called to have good, to have confession, to confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul's saying, you got to be a fighter. The second key to living a victorious life, if you want to be an overcomer, the second key is this: you can never quit. You can't quit. Don't get hurt. Stop letting people hurt you. Stop being offended. There are a lot of people in our church that are so soft, so easily offended. If I walk down the aisle and don't shake your hand or don't tap you on the shoulder or don't say hi to you, and the person in front of you, I tap and say hi to them, then the person behind is offended. Like, why didn't he speak to me? It's like, really? Grow up. I love each and every one of you. And if it's at that place and you feel that in your heart, why not tap me and say, hey, Pastor Greg, I love you. This goes both ways. I'm just saying, we got to stop being so soft. Don't let somebody that is unsanctified cause you to quit. Never quit. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The key to being an overcomer is to never quit. Proverbs 4:23, protect your heart, guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. The only thing that ever gets offended is your flesh. Your spirit never gets offended. An overcomer never quits. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with every temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I did not handle it wrong. There was a way of escape. God could, if I would have listened to the voice of the inner voice, the Holy Spirit, I would never have hit that guy. I would have never hit him had I listened to that inner voice. God always makes a way of escape. You got to bring your flesh under subjection. We're created to live a victorious life, and John tells us what we are to overcome. 1 John 5:4, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. The world. The world there is the Greek word cosmos. And it's a broad word. It has a lot of different meanings. If you go and look at cosmos and what it means, it has a lot of different meanings. But in this context, it means this world is a system and it is under the spell of Satan. The system of this world is under the spell of Satan. They say it's systemic racism. You know what I think it is? Satanic racism. All racism comes from the pit of hell. God only created one race, the human race, and any other thing in there that comes from this natural world is a lie from the pit of hell. And we've got to go at the system that says it's acceptable. It is never acceptable. It has always been from the beginning till now. It is all through the Bible. It is a race problem that has plagued this earth. But when you come into the faith into Jesus Christ, you get regened and you got to crucify that flesh. And whoever told you that you were better than somebody else lied to you, because all flesh matters to God. Come on. In this context, it means a system that is under the spell of Satan. He doesn't have all authority. Satan does not have all authority, but Satan has been given delegated authority. He has some power on this earth. And I know the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I know all the gold belongs to the Lord and all the silver belongs to the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, there is an adversary, the devil, who walks around, the Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:1. And you who made alive, who are dead in your trespasses and sin, and once you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom you also conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of wrath, just as others. But Jesus called us out of that system. He called us out of that gene pool. And he said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Satan that has dominion and has limited power has been tormenting the minds of people. John 10:10 calls him a thief and says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is the enemy doing on the earth? He's blinding the minds. He's tormenting. He's lying. He's deceiving. He's putting fear in people's hearts. Satan is at work in all those different ways. And even though you've been born again or regenerated, you have been given new genes and been regenerated, you will still have struggle with this earthly nature. Because we have an adversary. We live in a hostile environment. I'm not trying to be discouraging. I just want everybody to know why you're going through hard times. I want you to understand why you're still struggling, and at times you still have this battle inside of you. Anybody else struggle to conquer the flesh? Listen, God never said this was going to be easy. I mean, as preachers, and the proclaimers of the gospel, I think we've made this so soft and we've made this so easy. We make everybody feel like when you come to faith in God, everything's going to be great. You just need Jesus. You come into the kingdom, it's going to be great. It's a party. Huh? We've given that lie. And if you came into faith thinking that everything was just going to be all right and everything was going to be great, I just want you to know somebody lied to you. Somebody lied to you. You don't even stir up the devil and make him mad till you give your life to Christ. Huh? Once you give your life to Christ, you stir up the enemy. If this walk of faith is easy for you, then I'm challenging if you're even doing anything for God. I'll just challenge you. My dad, man, everybody used to go tell my dad about all the great things that God was doing in my life. And I was happy, you know. I thought Daddy would be really proud of me. My dad gets to me and he says, "Son, woe to you when they all talk good about you." I'm like, "What? You can hear my dad say it, right? Woe to you, son, when everybody's talking good about you." I said, "Daddy, you're just seeing one side of it. I got haters." "You got haters too. The people that are all over this planet hate the God that is in you. It's not they dislike you. They hate it. Everybody has haters." Luke 21:17. This is Jesus talking. Matthew, Mark, Luke. One of the Gospels. Nobody preaches about this stuff, but here's the truth. Luke 21:17. "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." John 15:18-19. "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before you." If you are of the world would love its own. "Yet because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Matthew 10:22. "You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Don't quit. Don't quit. Never give up. Fight. Principalities and powers don't like who you are becoming in Christ. They don't like the fact that we're following Jesus. Because now we're working against the flow. We're going against the current, man. This current, this system that is dragging people to find self-help and to look for them for the answers. The world does not have the answers. They have the deception. They don't have the answers. The only answers are the love of Christ. The only answers are agape love. The only answer is love without condition. It's not I love you because you've done something for me. It's I love you because God created you. And because he created you, he had purpose in you. Not too long ago, there was a big snake on the property at the horse barn. And I'm driving around the new property, and I saw this poisonous snake. It was a cottonmouth. And I hate poisonous snakes. So I took my car and I ran it over. I'm a fighter. So I killed the snake. And I went home to get my grandson. And I said, Titus, come, because I want Pop to show you, because not all snakes are bad, but I want to show you a bad snake. And he said, what? I said, come on. I killed a bad snake, and I want you to see what it looks like so you know. If you ever see that, don't even get close to it, because one bite could kill you. So we go over there, and we roll down the window, and he looks out the window, and he sees it. He goes, oh, Pop, why? I said, well, Titus, that's a bad snake. That's a poisonous snake. I kill poisonous snakes. Now, Dana will kill a good snake. I don't kill good snakes. Dana said every snake's a bad snake, but I don't. But Titus is looking at that Pop. He turned to me with tears in his eyes. He said, Pop, who made that snake? I said, well, God made it, but it was a bad snake. He said, Pop, that ain't right. I said, well, Titus, I just want you to see it so you know what a bad snake looks like. I said, and I tried to explain to him. I said, Titus, what do you do when a mosquito gets on you? God made mosquitoes. He said, Pop, I don't kill it. I just shoo it off. Listen, God created all of us, and we all have value. Come on, the Bible says, unless you become like a little child, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. I had to seriously bow my heart and say, God, you know, I want to be a better pop. I want to be a better grandpa. I want to be real, you know? When I was a kid, they talked about all the time, don't let the world get in you, buddy. Don't let the world get in you. The world will get in you. You'll become worldly. You know, just you don't want to become worldly. And I didn't understand what all that meant. I just knew that we didn't want to become worldly. And then we grew up in this environment where the pendulum got swung way over to the side, and it became legalism. And everything was about what we looked like and what we acted like. And everything, it was this legalism. It wasn't inside of us. It was trying to dress it up. You weren't allowed to wear pants. Women weren't allowed to wear pants. They weren't allowed to wear makeup. I've seen some of you without makeup. Makeup is good. He's amen to me, boy. But the pendulum was so far on this side, and it was just this legalism thing. And it was like, you know, when we went swimming, we weren't allowed to wear shorts. We swam in jeans. I'm not kidding you. If there was a girl there, you were not allowed to wear shorts. If you wore shorts, you're going to hell. Don't let the world get in you. I'm telling you, it was just messed up, man. It was like, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't hang out with girls that do. It was legalism. And those of us that were touched in it, I don't know, Brenda, you were never raised in that, right? I mean, but Gail, you were raised in it. I was raised in it. It was this mindset, you know? And and those of us that got touched by that, we hate it. And what we've done is we've allowed the pendulum to swing so far the other way now. Huh? It was so far over here. We said, we don't want legalism. We want to do this out of love. And so therefore, we let the pendulum swing way over here. And now the church is trying to look as much like the world as we can. We want everybody to feel comfortable when they come in. Don't want anybody to feel any kind of, so it's like it swung way on over to the other side. We call it grace. Well, that's the grace of God, brother. You know, the grace of God. Let me just tell you something. Without the grace of God, I'm not standing on this pulpit. I love the grace of God. But you can't use the grace of God as an excuse for your sin. That's the world's way. That's the world's way. If you wake up in the morning and when you're getting dressed trying to think how you can sexually be attractive to somebody else, that's the world's way. If you attract somebody because of your sexuality, don't be shocked when you lose them because of somebody else's sexuality. I'm just telling you. If you wake up in the morning and you're trying to figure out how low you can let your top go down so that you can show that you're beautiful, I'm telling you, that's not beauty. That's a trick of the enemy. That's the world system. You say, well, whoever does that, Pastor Greg, do you look at Facebook? Anybody else look at Facebook? When every picture is of you holding your camera up here smiling. I'm telling the truth, Gary. I'm telling the truth. When you're using those tactics, I'm telling you, it's like we've lost all morality, we've all lost all sense of right and wrong, and now everything is just subjective, you know. It's to whoever it is, and it's subjective to her or him, but everybody lived their own life. I'm telling you, you better watch your soul. You better check your heart. You better understand and know there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of destruction. God has called his church to holiness. He's called his church to righteousness. And it's not trying to make it up and pretend and look like it. It's to actually having a conversion in your life to where you get re-gened and you have the genes of heaven. You've got a heavenly purpose to everything that you do. That's who we're called to. The system is lying to you. It wants to offer a buffet for everybody. It's something for everybody, where everybody can find their own place and find their own peace. You will never find your peace except at the foot of the cross. You will never find the peace of God, no matter how much money you make, no matter how many businesses you own, no matter what your career path looks like. You will never find it in a man. You'll never find it in a woman. The only real peace comes from the Father above, and his name is Jesus. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he has created you to be more than a conqueror. Miss Gail, if you could come up. The only way to overcome this world is to put your faith in God. 1 John 2:15. Everybody go there with me, and I'll close with this. 1 John 2:15. This is for everybody. Okay, this is for everybody. Don't think this is just for the young kids. This is for everybody. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is Jesus. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But whosoever does the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's the devil's triangle. Remember when you was a kid, the Bermuda Triangle? This is the devil's triangle, and so many people have gotten lost in this, and they're wandering around with no way out. Have no clue how to get out. It's what happened to Eve in the garden. You go back and read the account in the garden. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's what happened to Jesus on the Temple Mount. Those of us that went to Israel, that went to the backside of the Temple Mount, and we stood there and said, this is the pinnacle of the temple where Satan took Jesus up. And what did he use? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, if thou be the Son of God. It's the same tactics, guys. It's the love of this world. It's still trying to keep us from being an overcomer. We're raising a church generation that doesn't have a clue what it means to live in personal disciplines. Personal disciplines. To wake up every day, Dana, no matter what you feel like, and read that word. When you were going through that, Dana was going through a spiritual attack over his life, literally over his life. He's one of the elders of this church. He's a dear friend of mine. But something happened, and he came under great attack, and the enemy was really shredding him inside out. We fought, didn't we, Rick? Gene, we fought for Dana, didn't we? We fought for him. Like, we really put gloves on. Rhonda fought for him, and we fought for him. But let me tell you what he did through that whole process. Every morning, got up, read his Bible, prayed, confessed. He fought, Tim. He fought, and he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He kept in the Word, and today he sits here with a smile on his face, still saying the same thing, walking in spirit. Huh? Live in the Word, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Word, walk in the Spirit. How did he overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And he loved his life, not even unto the death. Never quit. Get some personal discipline in your life. Do not respond to others with hatred. Do not look at people as if they don't have pain. I'm telling you, each and every one of us, it needs to move us to compassion. Everything that's going on in this earth right now, all the hatred, all that enemy tactics to divide us, it needs to move this church to compassion. We need to stop blaming everybody. Say, oh, you shouldn't be so sensitive. You shouldn't have it now. That's not real. It's real pain, people. It's real pain. And the church needs to address it and say, love everybody and be intentional about it. Don't sit back and wait or just think because you don't have a racism problem, there's not a race problem. If my brother's hurting, I want to go beside him and lift his arms and say, we are more than the conquerors in Christ Jesus. And together, we can defeat the evil one. Amen. Romans 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of your body, and you will live. Colossians says, put to death your members which are on the earth. It talks about fornication. It talks about all that. I close with one more scripture, maybe two. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. This is Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's how we win. Lawlessness is cancer. To live lawlessly is cancer. The world always wants you to pull you back into a nature from which you've been delivered from. It's this gravitational pull of the earth trying to pull us back into an old way of thinking, an old way of living. The world wants us to have a love affair with it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you believe that, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet with me. I went a little longer than I wanted to, but I just needed to get this into our hearts. Lift your hands to the Lord all over this house. Make up your mind. I will be a fighter, and I will not quit. I will love everybody. I'm not going to pick and choose who to love. I will love everybody. God, I ask you to pour your love out through me. Pour your love out through me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm asking this morning, if you're in this room and you don't have the peace of God in your heart, that's the best way to put it. I mean, I say sometimes if you're not a Christian, if you're not, see, there are Christians that haven't been regened. I really believe that. There are people who think they're Christians, but they haven't been regened. And God says, come on, I want you to really surrender everything to me. I'm asking right now, if you're in the room and you don't have the peace of God in your heart, if you just lift your hands with me right now, just hold them up, say, you know what? I really don't have the peace of God. I've been watching too much news. I've been listening to too many lies, and I just need the peace of God. Could you just lift your hands with me and just hold them up? Thank you, all over the room. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Father, we lift our hands. We confess our sin. We confess our sin. we ask for the Spirit of the living God to come upon us. Renew our minds. Remove the scales, the blindness of the enemy. God, let us see revival. Let us see a revival on the earth. Let us see every nation coming together to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Heal the land. Restore peace on earth, Lord. We love you. We believe that you died for us, and we choose to live for you. We commit ourselves to the cross of Christ. We commit ourselves to the cross, Lord. We deny our flesh. We deny the members of our body, God, that would always try to allure us away. And God, we sit at your feet. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your peace. Remember, when he's talking about hating the world, he's not talking about hating the people. It's a dichotomy that we all have to realize. Jesus died for the world. He died for the people of the world. Love everybody. Pray hard. Amen? Amen. Okay, yeah, Bobby's reminding me about camp. God wants you to overcome the spirit of this world. Do not be overcome by it. Amen? Keep smiling. He's with you. He's for you.